Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. You're such a holy God. You're beautiful in every way. You're awesome. We thank you for your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, do a work that only you can do. Touch us where it matters the most. Flow through us and come to us. Minister to us in the most special way. I have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's be seated. Thank you so much. If I could wake up one day singing like you, I would sing the whole time and never stop. I always thank God for people who can sing, because I can sing inside my head. It's just that I mustn't open my mouth to do that. As it's been said, my name is Linda Khoza. I come from South Africa. I am very much South African, born in Cape Town, grew up all over the place, somewhere in South Africa. I stay in Pretoria and I stay in Queenstown. It's a great honor for me to be here this morning. Pastor, ma'am, thank you so much for affording me space in your great place. I love church. Are you allowed? Are they allowed to smile? Okay. I don't want to demand something you don't do. You know, when you are in a different place, you've got to be careful with cultural barriers and cultural crossovers. But I want to believe pretty much Christians have very similar. So if you're allowed to smile, you look better when you smile. So give yourself that permission that when you don't smile, you intimidate the person seated next to you, because I can't be intimidated. I deal with the devil, so I can't be intimidated. I've seen too much. I've seen too much to be intimidated by less of smile. So, I'm a mother of three young men, very powerful young men. They believe they love me. And for me, I know I'm committed to them and I love them a lot. And I love my husband. He is on his way. He's busy suffering for the Lord between the flights. He'll finally be here when he gets here. I am born again. I usually bring that up front, because in our day, we've got a lot of things that happen in the place called church. Not everybody that comes to church is a Christian believing believer. Just like you can sleep in the garage all you like, you don't become a car just because you sleep in a garage. So it's not coming to church that makes you a Christian believer. What makes you a Christian believer is what I did. I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. I believe he was born of a Virgin Mary. I believe he died and he rose again on the third day. He did that for me, that I may have everlasting life. He forgave all my sins thereof. And I then made a confession believing that Jesus then be my personal Savior. I therefore stand boldly to say I am born again. So if you claim to be born again and you have not believed what I've just said, you need to rethink. It's not coming to church that makes you a believing believer. It is believing in Jesus Christ. It's believing in his lordship. It's believing clearly that Jesus is the Son of the living God. He died and he did raise again. Do you believe the same way?
Yes.
Then I'm in the right place. So you're not getting your mic. I'll continue. We're going to work with a few scriptures, and that watch is beautiful. I don't know if it's going to help me. So I need somebody who can time me. I have now, I've taken 5 minutes already. I have exactly 35 minutes. So please, somebody, when I'm left with 10 minutes, indicate to me. I'm a woman, Pastor. I can talk. I believe I'm one of those who were born talking as such. You know, I can talk. Me. Yo, yo, yo. I can talk. Yo, yo, yo means like, yo. It's South Africanese. You don't need to worry about that. So please stop me. If you don't stop me, I can talk. I promise you. I got born again at age 6. And I am now 47. So I have been born again the greater part of my life. Which means, and I got ordained at age 21 as a minister. When I finished college, I went to Bible school after that. And the rest I've been studying along the way. So I've been a preacher pretty much all my adult life. So that's a warning. That means I am preacher wired. Right. I love the Lord. I serve him. I live to serve the Lord. When the Lord called me, I said to him, Lord, if I am going to give up my career and give up my everything, then the Bible was still a hard copy. It was not digital. I asked the Lord, if I'm going to serve you with all my life, you better then be able to get out of the Bible and be real in my today's life. I've heard and read about the God of Abraham. I've read the God of Paul. I've read the God of John. I've read the God of Deborah. I've read the God of David. I want to have my own God. I want to relate to a God who is relevant to my today. I want to relate and serve a God who will answer my today's dilemma. And he has been faithful. He has been faithful all the way. When I got married, starting with just that testimony, because I had promised the Lord, that's not where I'm going. When we had gotten married with my husband, obviously the first year is honeymoon year, you're not pressured. Second year, you begin to get pressured because you want to have a child. And then third year, your family and the in-laws, they start scanning you every time you come home. They say nothing is happening, and you get the pressure. So we began to pray. Went to the doctors, did the whole routine, and the doctors finally told me, they ran some tests. They told me, you're not going to have one. Forget it. You can go adopt or do anything. I said, Lord, you are God. I said to you, be able to get out of the book and be real in my life. Now this is the time. And in the book of Psalms, you said, you set a woman as a happy mother of children. And I want to be a mother of children. I don't want to just be a child minder. I want to be a mother. So we prayed with my husband, cutting the long story short. There's a scripture that we began to read. It's in Deuteronomy 23. It says, the Lord will bless your food and your water. He will take away sickness from among you. None of you will miscarry or be barren in the land. And he will give you a full lifespan. We began to pray that. We began to take that scripture as our prayer. I wrote it on A4 papers. It was on my wardrobe. It was on the refrigerator. It was in the bathroom. It was next to my bed. It was anywhere where I could see it. Whenever I turn, I would have to see and say the scripture, because I had already read that the Lord stands on his word to perform it. And he is the same God who has been, who still is, in whom there's nothing impossible. We went with that scripture. Lo and behold, after a while, we got pregnant. And before we could have our first child, we had three miscarriages. Went back to the scripture, I said, Lord, you said none of us will miscarry or be barren. And we had our firstborn child. He's now 21. And after our firstborn, it's 5 years between the firstborn and the secondborn. In between, we went to the doctor for the same reason. They said, did you say you have a child? I said, yes, I have a child. And the doctor said, well, you might as well go do whatever you did the first time, because according to this, there is no way you can have a child. And as such, I wouldn't be the best to deal with you. Now, by this time, we were in Queenstown, which is 800 kilometers away from Johannesburg, where we were, where my husband comes from, Johannesburg. So we went back to the drawing board, took out the scripture, began the scripture. Until today, whenever we sit and pray, we speak that scripture over our lives. And we have seen God. And the end of the story, we now have three sons. And the last born is 14. The last born, when he was born at 5.1 kg. That's huge. Yeah. But here's the thing that was not happening with him. He could not breathe properly. So they immediately took him into the incubator. Day one, day two, when I woke up, I wanted my baby. So they sent me to the seventh floor, or they said, I can't walk. They told the story. I said, well, if you say my baby is in the incubator, then now, from now, I can walk. They couldn't tell me I can't walk. So I got myself out of the bed, dragged the drip and everything that was there, and the nurses were furious. I said, look, when it comes to warfare, when it comes to dealing with life, I don't beg, I fight. I said to this nurse, he said, no, you'll have to sign. I said, I'm signing nothing. Between you and I, the most person who qualifies to be with that child is me. I went to the ward, find my child in an incubator. First night, they had pinched my baby's pinky with the door of an incubator. When I got there, that little finger was blue. My baby is not like me. He's quite fair in complexion. And they said to me, if the blood doesn't come to that finger, they'll have to cut it. I said, not so. I gave you a child with all fingers, and I'm taking out a child with all fingers. So I sat there praying and trying to massage my baby's finger. And the Lord helped us. After a while, he got... Now, the problem is that I couldn't get him out of the incubator to do this. I had to have my hands there and take them out and in there and the whole story. But here's what happened on the seventh day. Toward morning, I had a dream. I saw a baby that looked like my baby in the incubator. He got gushed blood out of the nose, and that child died. And I went to the ward early in the morning with all moms. When I got there, my baby was not in the incubator. You can imagine the shock. So the nurses noticed, so they showed me, no, they'd moved the baby to another incubator on the other side of the room. I went to the baby. Hardly 5-10 minutes, the woman whose child was in the incubator where my baby was, started crying, my baby, my baby. And they took the baby out. The baby had blood. In a space of 15 minutes, the baby was dead. And that child was in the same incubator where my child was. I said to the devil, you are a liar. You have missed again. And from that time, I stopped praying nicely. You know, when we believers pray nicely, oh, I'm a good, I pray them. No, I stopped doing that. I prayed like only an African woman can pray. I paced the place. I prayed out loud. I rebuked the demons. I chased everything out. And the nurses came. The doctor came. I asked what's the condition of my child. And they said, no, we cannot tell. I said, you cannot be fiddling with my child and you don't tell me the condition. He says, no, if I say the child will be okay and the child is not okay, you will sue me. I said, you are not going to be fiddling with my child and you don't tell me the condition. And I made sure she does. Finally, she told me, okay, your child will live. I said, that's all I wanted from your mouth so that I can agree with somebody according to the word of the Lord. Then at that point, I knew everything is well. So the doctors kept coming and the nurses, because I wasn't leaving the room. People were chased away. The one was not going to go away. So they started saying, no, she's suffering postnatal depression. And I said, you call it whatever. The one thing I'm not going to do, I'm not leaving this child with you here. When I get out of this place, I will have a child. And God has been faithful. I serve a God that I know for sure. I serve a God I have experienced. I serve a God that I know with me. Last year, my mother-in-law, I took my mother-in-law for dental care. This is last year. I took her for dental care. She complicated. She died on us. When my husband picked her, she wasn't breathing. We tried our best. We took her to the doctor. The doctor was not going to take her because she was not breathing. We said, do something, resuscitate. Long story short, she got allergic. She was just this one wound. She looked like she was dipped in oil, in hot oil. There was no way to touch her. There was no space to touch her. If I had remembered, I would have brought the pictures of just how she looked like. And on and off, she would let go. She would say, no, that's enough. I can't take this pain. And stop breathing. I said to her, Ma, please, not on my watch. Because I'm thinking, I'm the one who took her to the doctor. And now her children, one of them is my husband. What am I going to say? Look, it's not like here in the Western world, in Africa, it's different. Because now I thought, if she dies, they're going to say, I killed the woman. I said, no, Lord, no. Whatever happens, she cannot die on my clock. Not on my watch. And she would give up and she would go. I would sit there and I would say, come back, life, come back to this body. When she would finally come out, I would plead with her. Just say one thing. I will not die, but live and declare the goodness of the Lord in the land. Don't say anything. Don't say anything else, ma. She could not drink. She would sip water 3 times with a straw and be so tired. And to God be the glory, she was in Thailand in July this year on her 80th birthday. They are missionaries. She went with my husband and Pastor Bruce. The same person who was going on. Last year, toward the end of the year, to celebrate the Lord, we did their 50th wedding anniversary. I serve a God I have experienced. I serve a living God who is relevant in any part of your life. I serve a God who is able to get out of the Bible and be real in your life now and today. But there's one thing I've noticed with the Lord. He's not Father Christmas, as many of us would think. He doesn't walk around with this bag of gifts and you name and claim and get. No. He is a father. He is Jehovah. I always ask myself a question. Why does the Lord refer to himself as I am? He says, I am the great I am. I am the Lord Almighty. If God is I am and he has made you in his own image, resemblance, and likeness, he says, when I say I am, please say I am. Who are you referring to? It's not a tricky question. Say, I am. Who are you referring to? Now, what follows the I am is critical, because whatever you say, you shall get. You therefore, if you are made like God, to be like God, whenever you say, I am, and you say, I am sick, you are working against yourself. Because I am doesn't do sick. So when I talk to me, I say, I am well. By his wounds, he has made me. I am. Who are you? Who are you? Tell me, who are you? Full sentence? In a full sentence, what do you say? You start by saying, if you can change your I ams in life, you can change everything. Because your mind, by God's design, it's designed to believe what you say about you. That is why the Lord, if I had time, would work with that. That is why the Lord makes a lot of I am statement to register himself with us. So that we are able to understand who he is and understand. He mirrors himself for us so that we understand who we are by looking at him. Make sense? All right. Let's quickly go to where I'm going. You see, I'm looking elsewhere. My departure scripture is Luke. Is there somebody who can read for me? I need somebody who can read for me quickly. My departure scripture is Luke chapter 9, verse 26. And we will do Daniel, which is my support scripture, to bring out what I'm trying to say. I promise you I'll finish very early. It may be early in the morning, but I'll finish very early. I won't take much of your time. Right? How many people are spirit-filled here? Right. Okay. Let's read. Please read, somebody. Please read that again out loud. Do you want to give him a mic?
Right. Luke 9, verse 26. If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the fathers and the holy angels.
Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Illuminate it in us and help me. Amen. Now, in King James, it reads, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in the Father's and that of the holy angels. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to be very quick with this one. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, when the Holy Spirit shall come, you shall be baptized with the. When you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power. Say power. So when Holy Spirit shall come upon you, you shall receive what? Power. And the reason, the purpose for the power is simply for you to be my witness. Jesus says, you shall receive power so that you are my witnesses, both in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So the reason for the Lord to bring us Holy Spirit is so that we become his witnesses. Now, you can never be a witness, an authentic witness, if you don't have first information. If you are not firsthand, if you have not been there yourself or heard it yourself, or you have seen it yourself. So you've got to own firsthand information to be an authentic witness. So Jesus says, if you're going to be my witness, I'm going to give you a series of firsthand informations. I'm going to give you first information, first experiences. You're going to be the first to see, to experience, to know, or to understand it. So in other words, for you to be Jesus's witness, you've got to experience whatever you experience in life. It is for a purpose for you to witness that Jesus is. For me, the testimony I've just given to you about my child and my mother-in-law, it is my firsthand experience. Nobody can take that away from me. I was there myself. It's what I've experienced, it's what I've seen, it's what I've known. So I then am a witness that Jesus is able to put a baby in a mother's womb against all doctors' reports. So I am a witness that he is able to heal the sick. I got sick myself. I collapsed. I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor all my life. I collapsed. The pastor. I speak in tongues. Spirit-filled. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. But I got sick. And I collapsed. And I am an experienced person who knows that Jesus heals the sick. So when the devil got me sick, the Bible says he works all things together for the good of those. So the good that came out of that is my experience of knowing that Jesus does heal the sick. Am I making sense? So being filled with the Holy Spirit is not for the purposes of speaking in other tongues only. The speaking in other tongues is an evidence that you've been baptized, right? Now, these are all legal terms. I'm sure you all understand that. When I was a little girl, I was staying with my grandmother. Back in the day in South Africa, there was a powdered milk called Klim. Klim was bad because it was very nice. So I would put Klim in my mouth without my grandmother's permission. When you are a child, you don't call it stealing. Then my grandmother this day asked, did you eat my Klim? I said, she asked, did you eat my Klim? She said, mm-mm. I said, mm-mm. She said, did you eat my Klim? I said, no. When I said no, the Klim got out of my mouth because it would get stuck over there. And then my grandmother knows now that I had what? Klim. So the coming out of the Klim was the evidence that I had eaten Klim. But the Klim itself is not the eating. I am the one who ate the Klim. The Klim is the evidence, the showing up of the Klim is the evidence that I had something to do with the Klim. So speaking in other tongues is an evidence that you are spirit-filled. Right? So when you are spirit-filled, the purpose is for you to be a witness. Say witness. Please talk to me. So then the scripture we have just read, it says, if anyone, how many people know anyone? Anyone? Anyone going once, twice? Right. Now, if the Bible says, if anyone is ashamed of me, the Bible is the word of? The Bible is the word of? Do we all believe that? And who is he writing to? So God is writing, the Bible is writing his word to his own children. So God is writing, is talking to his children through his letter. Do we all agree? Now, if you are not born, what's the relevance of a written letter to you? Is there any? You're not born. It's not relevant. So the letter becomes relevant to you the moment you are born. The moment you come to the Lord, we call you born again. That is the moment when the Bible is relevant to you. So that scripture is not talking to unbelievers. It is talking to the believers. It's talking to his children. He says, whoever of you, my children, is ashamed of me. Let me tell you what happened to me this morning. Not yesterday, this morning. I'm trying to get dressed here. I asked yesterday, what's the dress code here? I'm an African, remember? I could have come in all my... So I put on my dress and I'm thinking, just when I was finishing ironing, I thought, oh, my dress has a cross. I make my clothes. So I thought, oh, I'm intentional about these clothes. Does it look good? Blessed? Yeah. I'm intentional about it. I started making this when I read this scripture. But now, this morning, I thought, I've got a cross. I hope I'm not going to offend anybody. Now I'm thinking, what should I do? Should I put a brooch? Should I? And that scripture came back to me again. Are you ashamed of me now that you are among other people? And then I'm thinking, oh, we're going to go to a restaurant. I'm thinking, oh, my God. I hope I'm not going to embarrass my host. I'm all written. I wear this, especially when I'm not going to be in my country. I'm totally South African, and I love it. So, the Lord said to me, if you are ashamed of me and my word, please listen carefully. If you don't get anything I'm going to say, don't miss this. If you are ashamed of me and my word, what's written on you? It's my word. What does the cross represent? The cross will tell somebody who you are before you say anything. I said, it's okay, Lord. Now, when I read this scripture, if anyone is ashamed of me and my word, have you ever noticed, Pastor, that when you call people to bring their, to go evangelize, they go at this level. They go to either their peers or people they feel it's easy to go to. It's very rare that they go to their peers and people higher than them or people they esteem to be higher. And the simple reason for that, you're ashamed. The reason you're ashamed is because you have not answered the question I'm going to give. Whenever human being is ashamed, they feel, what's in it for me? What can I prove to stand firm and say it's true? Now you need then to work with the Lord to give you a series of evidences, a series of testimonies where you are able, it doesn't matter where you are, even if you can be the only Christian there, you boldly say, I am a born-again child of God. Because you are not basing that only on the written word, you are basing that on your journey with the Lord. You are basing that on Him having shown up. Am I making sense to somebody? So then the Lord says, if you are ashamed of me, listen carefully. Ashamed of me and my words. Remember in Acts, he says, you shall be baptized. When you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you become what? Witnesses. So to be a witness, you've got to be able to speak from conviction. So he says, if you are ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of you. Trust me, you don't want Jesus ashamed of you. Because we all know the Bible says, he shall supply how many? All my needs according to his riches in Christ in glory. Do you understand that? And he is our chief intercessor. He stands before the Father to intercede for us. Now, look at that scripture. It says, If you are ashamed of me and my words, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to be ashamed of you. When I go to my own glory, this is Christ speaking. He has glory. And that of my Father, whom I intercede for you in his presence, and that of the angels that get to be dispatched. They are ministering spirits. They are messengers to do what the Lord wants them to do for you. So Jesus, in a nutshell, he is saying, okay, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you and your words. When I go where your words are supposed to be answered. How many people want that? How many people pray here? How many people have needs? I know Australians have a lot of stress. You are one country that is high on depression and stress and all those interesting good sicknesses. We are Africans, we can't be stressed, we don't have time. Our people are too poor to have stress, so they've got to work quick and work hard and make sure they do things or sleep, not do anything, because they're too poor to do anything. Do you understand that? So now, if you have need, if you are sick in your body, if you are studying, you want to make sure that, Lord, let me make it, you've got to pray. Now, if you have to pray, you have to have confidence. And confidence comes by the word of God. And Peter says this to Jesus. Jesus says to Peter, you remember all the story of the boat and the storm? And Jesus says to Peter, do you want to come? And Peter says to Jesus, okay, say come. And Jesus says to Peter, come. And the moment Jesus says, come. Please don't write this on your books. It became comeable. There's no English like that. But it was possible to then come and literally walk on the water. Why? Because Peter had confidence on the word the Lord had said. And the word the Lord had said, it became a platform for Peter to walk on. Am I making sense? So then, if you want the Lord to do what he said he will do for you, because he says, I stand on my word to perform. I do what I said I will do. Now, if you want the Lord to do for you on your behalf or anything you want to achieve in life, you better make sure you are not ashamed of him. Imagine, where would the church be if every one of us were not ashamed of the Lord Jesus? Imagine if we were bold about him. Imagine if, how many prayers have you prayed and you don't have answers? Could it be that you are praying, you don't see the answers? Because when he says, in fact, that same scripture in the book of Mark, it says, in this sinful and adulterous generation. The Lord knows the state of the world today, and yet he still says, do not be ashamed of me, do not be ashamed of my words. If you're not ashamed of me, you're not ashamed of my words, I will not be ashamed of you, I won't be ashamed of your prayers. Your prayers is your word. And I'll make sure anything you do. Now, here's a group of guys who were not ashamed of the word. Let's go to the book of Daniel. Is my time over? In 5 minutes? Am I right? Okay, I'll sing through it. No, my husband will come back and he will know that I skipped your time. Okay, Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, and to save us time, let's just read 16 and 26. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 and 26, please read.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. O Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fire furnace.
26.
26, oh, sorry.
No, just skip to 26.
Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire.
27.
And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them.
Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Let me try. Remember that we have already established that he says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. You know that part. And then we've already established that the Lord Jesus says, when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you become his witnesses. Now let's take this story. We know there's a scripture you read. I love that scripture. With the breaking of the bread. I love it. Do you know what got broken in the bread? The Lord, with few loaves, he fed a lot of people because he broke limitation from the bread. When the bread loses limitation, it feeds a lot of people. When the bread is broken, it feeds more people. Some of us are broken breads. Some of us, we get broken once. If you're broken once, you can feed two. If you get broken 3 times, you can feed. But if you can be broken many times, you can feed many. So never stop the breaking. It's for a purpose. Besides, it's easy for the Lord to use broken people than people who have their own way. That was just by the way. Thank you. You preached to me so that I can preach. Now, listen. Daniel Shadrach and Meshach Shadrach and Abednego. We all know the story. They're thrown into the furnace of fire because they refused to bow to the image. God help me. Lord, can I ask for 5 minutes? They refused to bow to a god of the day. The god of the day is the god who is in images, who is visible. And our God has resigned himself. He refused to be a picture and an image. Now, these guys, they came from their own hometown. They came from their nation. Where they are foreigners. Where they are in a different culture. And the culture here demands that they bow to certain things they are not used or supposed to bow to. But here, they have to do things the way things are done here to fit the lifestyle and then be preserved here. So this is a matter of life and death. But now they refuse to bow to the image because they know who they are. Now these are the guys who say, they say to Nebuchadnezzar, oh king, I wish you had time, if you can take time and go study who this Nebuchadnezzar is. Nobody stood on Nebuchadnezzar. Nobody would stand up to him. He was just that fierce. Now, these guys, They fear a God who is higher than the king they are faced with because of their experience with God. But now, these are the people, when I look closely at them, that their faith is supposed to be weak. Because when they were in their country, obviously they prayed that, Lord, save us from Nebuchadnezzar. And they were not. They prayed, Lord, save your temple from Nebuchadnezzar. Don't let him make ruin of our place. And they were not answered. When they were brought here, they must have prayed, Lord, there are things we do not eat. Please don't let them change their diet. It was changed. They prayed, Lord, please save us, preserve us so that we can grow and be a nation here and have children and have wives. That was not answered. They were taken, including their own productivity. Their manhood was taken from them. They were basically just useless. And they're in another country. And in this place, they are saying, we will not bow. When the demand for them, how do you get to have a child? Please, I'm not politically correct, I know for sure. How do you get a child when you are homosexual? Because that's a God. It demands that you bow to this God, and as long as you bow to this God, you are not going to have a generation. It's a generation, it's a God that is against a human being growing in numbers. It's the same spirit that was in the day of Nebuchadnezzar. The demand on these boys, that they were, the reason they were made eunuchs was for them to serve the king, but primarily was for them not to grow in numbers. It's the same devil. Is the same devil in Australia today. Is the same devil where we are today. Is the same devil in South Africa today who says bow. And if you do not bow, you die. You bow or die. And these guys say something very, very spectacular to me. They say, oh, king, we are not careful with what you say. In a nutshell, they are saying, what you're saying doesn't matter much in relation to the God we serve. Imagine, this is the God they should be feeling as disappointed them. But when you know your God, when you have experienced your God, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what prayer has not been answered. It doesn't matter what testimony you do not have. When you know him beyond the testimony, beyond the experience, you know him, you will stand. You will stand the test of time. You will stand seasons. You will stand the demands of life. You will stand in a foreign country. You will stand and say, this is my God. Remember, we are ambassadors here. We have a different citizenship. Our citizenship is that of heaven. We are ambassadors where we are. We cannot live by their laws. We cannot live by the laws and the demands of the enemy. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Our God is able to do abundantly above all that which we may ask or even imagine. He is able to do all things. He forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases. He delivers our lives from the pit. He is the Lord who is our salvation. He is the Lord who is our shepherd, and we shall not be in lack. He is able to put our feet on spacious ground. He is able to put our lives at ease and heals our bodies. Now, as I finish, or as I stop, these guys decided, come what may, we choose our own God. Can you choose the Lord Jesus today? Can you say, it doesn't matter, I choose to know him. And I will be bold to talk about him and talk about his word. One of my dresses is written, talk about him, talk about his word. He'll talk about you and talk about your words. Is there anyone today you want to say to you, not to somebody else, I will talk about him and I will talk about his word. If 5 people can do that here just this week, that means there's 10 more people that can be here next week, Saturday. Could it be that the church is where it is because we're not doing our part? Could it be that we are where we are because we don't talk about him or talk about his word? Can we do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That when they got out of the fire, they said, oops, sorry, it's not my fault. They say, O king, even if he doesn't deliver us, but we will not die in your hands. We will not die having bowed. But our God will deliver us from the fire and will deliver us from your hands, because you must be delivered from both. You must be delivered from the heat of the day, and you must be delivered from the hand of the enemy. If they were delivered only from the fire, probably he would take them back. But here's what happened. While they were in the fire, the King of Kings came. He announces his presence. Because if Nebuchadnezzar could have them in the fire, he can have them in the fire again. But when the King of Kings appears in the fire, he deals with Nebuchadnezzar to deliver them from the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. He says, you touch them, I'm here. That's what the Lord says to you this morning. Doesn't matter where you are, he is there with you. In the fire, he is there with you. In the demands of life, he is there with you. When it's crazy, he is there with you. When it doesn't make sense, he is there with you. When you feel your prayers aren't getting answers, he is there with you. The Lord is with you. May the Lord bless you. Thank you, sir.
Church, let us stand up.
Father, thank you for the message that you deliver through Pastor Linda. Just to remind us that you are still under control. As we're going home, as we meditate your word, please let your word become alive. let I experience, whatever cost, let I experience your word in order us, our faith to grow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You keep us and bless us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Have a great Sunday. Thank you. God bless. Thank you, Pastor Linda.